So the first reading is from Mark 4, from verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he, that is Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the second reading is Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sea has often been a symbol for chaos. Now, some of you might know that my background is in shipping, and I never forgot the conversation that I had with one of our captains. Most of our captains were seasoned sailors. Being on the sea for 20, 30 years, they had seen everything. But I never forgot a conversation that I had with one of them after a big storm that happened on the North Sea. And he came in. And when I was talking to him, he was still white. He was still shaking of what he had experienced. And that was a sailor that had been sailing for 30 years. But the sea can be unpredictable. The sea can be very uncertain. But also biblically, in the Bible, we see a lot of stories that water is devastating, that water is an example of chaos. Think about the stories of the flood, the drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea, even the crossing of the Jordan. And all of these have reinforced the idea that the sea is chaotic, ever-changing. One minute it can be calm and flat. The other moment, there's a pounding wave. And it's no wonder that when the disciples went onto the Sea of Galilee in their fisher boats, what we've just read about in Mark 4, were frightened of what was happening. These were seasoned fishermen. They knew what it was to be on the sea. And the Sea of Galilee is known for its storms and its unpredictability. Now, a lot of these disciples probably had been on the sea, even in distressing circumstances. But clearly here, there is a big storm appearing on the lake, and their little boat is tossed around. Yeah, on dry land, on solid ground, we feel safe. We can plot our course, and we can reach the point that we are going to. But on the sea, however, it's a different thing. If you've ever been in a boat on the sea, there are no points of reference. When you're driving, you can think about a church that you recognize. Maybe another landmark that you see, which is a reference point when we're driving around. But on the sea, there are no fixed structures that we can use. And it's always changing, never the same. And of course, nowadays, there is satellite navigation. But in the past, they didn't even have that. They had to use fixed points like the stars. But otherwise, navigation on water would be impossible. Now, the sea then might be a symbol of the times that we're living in. Because nothing stays the same. Everything is ever changing. And so fast. In the past, maybe, when you think back, you could fix on certain things and head towards them. Maybe you could even plot your own course through life. And things were more or less happening as you were thinking they were. But not anymore. The ground beneath our feet has gone liquid. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes. It seems as if we're living on the land of unpredictability. As if we're living on a sea of change. So the question we face in our lives is, will we sink or will we swim? Will our lives be able to float, let alone make headway in this climate of change? I remember watching the news, maybe even when people are asking you about what you're doing in the next months, years. So often we say we don't know. It's a question that we are being asked regularly. What are you going to do after whatever is going to happen? So it is a reality that we live in, that we are living in uncertain times. Now this evening we will look at Psalm 46. And we do that in four steps. First of all, we will be looking at a world of chaos. Because when we are thinking about our lives and we're reading Psalm 46 and we read that the mountains be moved, earth gives way, mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It might actually feel that the psalmist is living in our street, as if he is describing our own lives. Because what he describes here is this world of uncertainty, a world of chaos, a world where nothing stays the same, where everything changes. And to start with, here in Psalm 46, he describes the ever-changing nature, the description of nature, which is violent, out of control. The earth gives way, mountains are falling into the heart of the sea, foaming and roaring seas. Sometimes it feels as if God is not in control anymore of nature. Maybe when you're talking to friends, they might actually say, well, that God of yours, is he letting all of this happen? You say this God is almighty, but look what's happening to nature. Just flick through the news on any given day. Rugby matches need to be cancelled because of a hurricane. but also a hurricane that is threatening many, many lives. But also think about the earthquakes, which are regular in the news, floods, famines, fires in the Amazon, fires in other places, and the list could go on and on and on. One year the winter is really cold, and then we are worried. The other year the winter is extremely warm, and we're all thinking about global warming. We get secondary school students striking. We get 16-year-olds addressing the United Nations. When we read this psalm, it sounds like the psalm was lived in our time. But clearly not much has changed since. And then the psalmist moves on from nature and he looks at the holy city of God, the place where God has chosen to dwell and make his home. And again, we see a picture of turmoil all around it. Nations that are in uproar against it. Kingdoms that are coming and going. Attacks being made at the break of day against this city. The people of God are inside, not knowing where the next attack is going to come from. But the psalm doesn't even stop here. It goes on to picture a battlefield, a place where wars are commonplace and death from war is a reality. Now again, open up the news. Open up today's news. And what do we see? Nations invading other countries. Syria, Turkey, the Middle East, North Korea, Ukraine. And again, that question comes to us. How are we dealing with this ever-changing world? Are we sinking or are we swimming? Is there actually anything that we can trust? Is there anything that doesn't change? Is there anything that we can cling on to in these uncertain times? In these times of ever changing times. But then we see, which is my second point, the eye of the storm. Because this psalm is not a psalm of despair. Clearly, it shows some grim pictures of this world and the obstacles that we might face ourselves in our lives. But ultimately, this is a psalm of hope. This is a psalm of security. Not because we can just get low and just let it all pass. Or not even because we can stand up and be strong to whatever is facing us. No, but because there is in this world of chaos a place of calm, a place of strength. Now, maybe some of you have seen the movie Twister. It's an old movie from quite a few years ago. It's a movie from Steven Spielberg where two people are chasing tornadoes. And what they try to do is put equipment in the center of the tornado so that they can measure what is actually happening in the eye of the storm. But in that film, we learn that actually in the middle of the tornado, it's peaceful and it's calm, it's still. Now think of the storm that we are living in. Just look at your own life and the storm that seems to rage on around you. And then this psalm says that in the middle there is a place of calm. And that place is God. The psalmist starts by saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In verse 7 he said, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And he repeats that in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Now this is a message that we need to hear. Because this is a glimmer of hope that we need to grab hold of, that we need to hold on to. Because while there is water all around us, while sometimes our lives feel as if we're walking on liquid in this ever-changing sea, there is a place where it's quiet. There is a place where it is solid. There is a place where there is renewal. And while the waves are crashing onto our lives, God is our refuge and our strength. And while everything seems to change around us, God is unchanging, as reliable as He has ever been. And while we are weak and uncertain in the face of these threats and fears, God is our strength. And while we sometimes feel alone, while we sometimes feel abandoned, He is the one who is ever present. He is the one who never fades away. The one who doesn't fall asleep or goes on holiday. And sometimes we might wonder whether this world is heading to anything at all, or whether we might be swallowed by it and left behind in its wake. But then this psalmist says, He is our refuge and our strength. He is our help in trouble. So what we have here is actually a message of security. Hope in uncertainty. In the middle of the storm that is around us, in the middle we have our Lord. And that is the calm center that we can rely on. And therefore we can be confident with the psalmist. That's the third point we want to look at. Because the psalmist can make in full confidence some statements of faith as to how this fact affects our day-to-day lives. Because this is not a fact that is way out beyond a concept that does not have effects on how we live. It's not just a nice thing to have. This can actually affect our day-to-day lives. Because it means that the psalmist, although he sees the world and life in general as being in chaos, he faces the future with confidence and assurance. And the first thing he says in verse 2 is, therefore we will not fear. Even though, and he lists a bunch of things to do with the world, nature, climate change, nations, standing up against nations, he says, I will not be afraid. Now fear can cripple us. Fear can stop us doing anything. And when we are fearful, all our energy goes into finding some place of shelter. We see that here with the disciples in the boat. They are completely fearful. They're afraid about what is going to happen. And that absorbs all their energy. And fear, how is that in our lives? It can dread us look forward to the next day. Maybe it dreads you to look forward for the next week or the month ahead because of its uncertainty and chaos. Now, based on our own strength, surely we have a lot to be afraid of. But this is not based on our own strength. This is based on the strength of God and who He is and what He has done. And therefore He said, I will not be moved. We shall not be moved. And although there are forces that would love to see the people of God removed, and we see it in government at the moment with laws that are being passed, we see that the people of God are being silenced. Maybe you, when you do certain work, when you work in the NHS, when you work at schools, you might be silenced. But here the psalmist can conclude that we will not be moved. The city of God, the people of God, are unshakable. Not because they have been built strong, but because God dwells within them. And that is us. God dwells within us. His presence is not confined to one city, in one part of the world, but he dwells within his people. In God's security, we stand strong. He is our anchor, our rock, and our fortress. And therefore, lastly, he gives us an invitation to look forward. And the psalmist gives us two commands that relate to who God is and the confidence this gives us. And these are not hard things. Actually, they're quite easy. Firstly, he invites us to look back. Because he says in verse 8, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth." Take a look, the psalmist says. Ponder at the things that I have done in the past. Have a look how I have been working in your life and the lives of the people around you. Look at the triumphs, but also the struggles that we have experienced. But see for yourself that I have been a refuge and a strength. I often talk to my clients about it, especially when they're facing challenges. I ask them that same question. So have you faced this challenge before? Yes. And how did you deal with it? Well, I did so and so. And then I overcame that challenge. Well, maybe it's an idea to do that again. So how is that for you when you face challenges? When you look back in your life, was God there? Was he there to help you? Was he a refuge and a strength? But in this, he also invites us to look at what he has done in Christ. He says to us this evening, "See how much I love you. See how much I care for you. See how far I will go to make you safe and secure in this world of chaos." And therefore, I invite you at the start of this new week to take time out and see what God has done in your life. See the times of pain that you've had. And see that he was there with you. Look at the times of triumph that you had. And see that God was leading the way. But we're not only invited to look back. We are invited to look forward as well. "Be still," he says, "and know that I am God. I will be exalted in all the earth." Actually, he says, stop from your constant striving, your constant running around and attempting to do the things your own way. There is no need to worry. I have it all in my hands. Relax for a while. Let go and know that I am God. Because you see, if we continue to hold on the reins of our own lives, and we try to continue to face the world on our own over and over again, we come short. And that gives that uncertainty. That gives that anxiety. But we just need to realize that he is God. So let go of that control. Because he is the one bringing it all to his appointed end. And when we look at verse 4, when he says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." Please turn with me to Revelation 22. And you will recognize these words when we read the first verses of Revelation 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is what we're looking forward to. Yes, the world seems to be spinning out of control. Chaos seems to be the order of the day. But we have to realize that he is still in charge. And he is the one doing things in his time. And so the challenge comes to us at the beginning of this new week to look forward in confidence. God is for us a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Surely we will continue to face trials. Surely we will continue to face challenges in our lives. But there is no cause for alarm. There is no cause for retreat. And if you sometimes feel in your life in the middle of a storm, like the disciples did, when you feel alone, when you feel missed out, when you feel abandoned, don't be afraid, Jesus says. Come to me, and I will give you peace. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are a refuge and a strength. In this world of chaos, in this world of change, we know that in the middle, you are a place of calm. You are a God of peace. And therefore, Lord, as we go away from here into that ever-changing world, we pray, Lord, that we are holding on to what we've just heard, that we find refuge with you, that we focus on you and your promises, and also that we are able to look back in our lives at the moments that it was tough, that we realized that you were there with us. And therefore, Lord, we pray that also with this psalmist, we can look forward in confidence as we're looking forward to the day that you will return, when we will see the new Jerusalem with that river streaming through its streets. And Lord, we pray that we are looking forward to that day. But Lord, we also know that everything happens at your time, and your time is right, and your time is perfect. And therefore, Lord, we pray that you give us the confidence that whatever happens in our lives, that we come to you, our God of refuge, our strength. Lord, go with us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.